Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With somebody.
This one was for you, Mitch.
I appreciate it. People get really mad in my past lives when I sing like for too long on the radio. Like, I think it's okay to sing online, but like a song like this, I'd play and I'd sing for like hours and hours and hours, and like that's probably not what people are here for. So nicely done. My name is Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. Tommy Wirtz is here. We're the Mason Crosby Show. It's Wednesday, so Mason is off humaning it up, and we are live from the 1250M and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Joining us now from CBS 58 here in Milwaukee, he's Scott Grodzki, sports reporter extraordinaire. How you doing, Scott?
I'm good. How you guys been?
We're good. Like, you know, It's a well, mostly sunny Wednesday morning. We're having a little Mason Crosby withdrawal here on a Wednesday, but we're holding it down, and there's lots to talk about. So here we are.
I mean, I talked to him yesterday. If that helps with the withdrawal, about the Lombardi Foundation Award of Excellence.
Yes, yeah, we're very excited about that. March 1st coming up. Mason and Molly, the guests of honor. They're on billboards. It's very exciting. And, you know, it's kind of tough because, like, we Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we do the show together. But, like, all of a sudden, there's, like, an aura of, like, he's, like, royalty now. And so it's, like, I have to, like, kiss the ring every day now.
And I like to humble him as much as possible. And, you know, that's too awesome of an award to do any of that. So I get it.
Yeah, no, it's really hard to downplay that award. It's really great stuff that both him and Molly have done for, I would say, years, but really it's decades at this point for the Lombardi Cancer Foundation.
That's true. That just means that Mason's old. That's all you just said. No, just kidding. You're talking about the Vince Lombardi Foundation, which has done amazing work, you're right, for decades and decades here in southeastern Wisconsin, and now has branched out and is doing things nationally as well. So Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, joining us here. And we, in the first segment, we're talking mostly about the Bucks. Bucks dropping the decision to the Blazers last night, 125-112, second half back-to-backs. Chris Middleton, after a terrible night in L.A., a great night in Utah, now a terrible night in Portland. Where do you see this Bucks team? What are we, about eight days away from the trade deadline? And are you of the mind that they have to make a deal, that maybe they'll make a deal, or maybe if everybody's healthy, that they don't need to make a deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think if the second apron didn't exist, they would make a deal. I don't know that they're going to be able to make a deal. I think that, if you can get someone to take Pat's salary, although he actually played fairly well last night, but regardless, if you can get someone to take his salary, if you can find the right fit for a replacement for Bobby, I think we saw how much they need some scoring off the bench yesterday when Bobby wasn't there, and really when he hasn't been the last three games. But it just, the way the NBA has that second apron, everything is so complicated and all of these trades are so hard to do. And when it comes to trading Chris specifically, I realize that Chris Middleton has not looked the way that, you know, people in Milwaukee are used to seeing him for the last decade. But what are you going to get that's better? I would rather hope that Chris can find his groove by the time you get to April, May, and hopefully June. Yep. Then what are you going to do with Bradley Beal? I mean, there's nothing out there that's really exciting to me as an option. They're not going to trade for Jimmy Butler. At least I can't imagine they would do that with all the drama around there. So I'm good with them staying put. And yesterday's game, I watched the game and it was obviously not great. They looked extremely sluggish. They could not stop Denny Avia and, got into a lot of foul trouble. But it was also the second part of a back-to-back involving a road trip, and that doesn't exist in the playoffs. And so I'm not super worried about how sluggish they look because they're never going to have that situation when it matters.
Right, and that's one of the things that Tommy and I were talking about in the first segment, is that the good news is that there are no back-to-backs in the playoffs. So if Chris Middleton is healthy-ish enough, he's not going to have to deal with this. We kind of tongue-in-cheek made a mention that, like, maybe he got those fouls on purpose at the beginning of the game just because, like, he knew he had to play because Bobby and AJ were out, but, like, they all kind of conspired with Doc that, like, just go get some fouls. We'll say you played, but you can get some rest. Like, don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, I don't think it was that far.
Right, but, right. No, I didn't. Right. It was tongue-in-cheek, like I said. We don't really believe that, but...
But, yeah, I mean, it's that kind of a game doesn't exist, and it's not just back-to-backs that don't exist in the playoffs. It's also back-to-backs with a trip from Utah to Portland.
Right.
Which, you know, it's not like you're going from Jersey to Portland, but the point is that's just stuff that they will not have to deal with, and so I'm not as concerned about how sluggish they look, because if this was how the NBA playoffs are set up, then you know what? It wasn't just Chris yesterday. Other than really Giannis, the whole team looked sluggish at points.
They really did. Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM. The Fan. And last night also, Marquette was in action. Number 9-ranked Marquette wins at Butler, 78-69, after trailing 42-35 at the half. And I'm still not, I mean, I believe they are a top 10 team, Scott. I think they're really good. I think their starting five can compete with anybody in the country. But I'm still not, like, fully convinced that with the lack of depth and the lack of, like, a big man rim protector, that they can really go far in March. What do you see with this Marquette? As good as they are, and they are awesome, when they get rolling, especially on defense, they can beat anybody, but I'm just a little nervous that if you have to do it five or six times in March Madness, that, you know, they have one game where their weaknesses do pop up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's in some ways modern college basketball. You see a lot more of the upsets now, including 16s against ones, because it's spread out enough to where anyone has enough talent. I think that Marquette is a good team, and they have a great starting five. And if they can avoid having foul trouble or injuries with that starting five and play the majority of the minutes, then, yeah, they're absolutely dangerous. A game like yesterday, I mean, no, they didn't look great against Butler, and Butler is not a good team, but it is still a Big East team on the road, and the next time there is an easy Big East team on the road that isn't DePaul, that would be the first.
That's right.
So, to me, as long as they keep winning, they're doing what they need to. Cam Jones is as good as it gets in college basketball at the moment, and I think they certainly are one of those teams that can contend to win a championship or make a Final Four run. But it's not, you know, I mean, no one is the Kentucky team that Wisconsin actually beat a decade ago, and no one has been that in a while. Right. I think they're certainly good enough to beat anyone, but on any given day, they play poorly, they have a couple of fouls, or worse, they just go up against one of those 14 seeds who shoots 65% from three. And
I hate those 14 seeds.
It can end.
It's true. Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. We're on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. Make sure you download that and put it on your phone. I saw recently you did a story on David Joplin, and I got to say, I was pretty down on him at the beginning of the year. I thought he was taking bad three-pointers and was kind of, they were relying on him, and I didn't know that he could step up. And I would say that he has proven me wrong, and I'm happy about that. Like, I still think his shooting's a little inconsistent, but his toughness, his competitiveness, and his scoring, I think, are all up and at a level that we can all kind of rely on at this point. What did you learn in your time with David?
Well, I mean, in his defense has gotten so much better. I the first time I talked to David, he was, I think, a senior at Brookfield Central.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's... his defense is night and day from what it was. He's turned in from a liability to one of the top defenders in a very hard to defend conference anyway. So I think he's grown a lot on that level. I think he's someone who, you know, maybe he's not the guy you want to rely on as your number one. And I think earlier on in the season, he struggled with finding their roles a little bit, but now that they've sort of settled into this spot as a team where, you know, Cam Jones is the one, and then on any given day, yesterday it was Stevie Mitchell, but on any given day, you have Stevie Mitchell, Chase Ross, and David Joplin. All three of them are kind of in that, like, you know, second team All Big East, third team All Big East, whatever. They're in that tier of
absolutely
very, very good players who are not going to win Conference Player of the Year. And now that they're not being relied on to play like that, I think it's helped all three of them, really.
Scott, this is producer Tommy here, keeping it with college basketball. I want to get over to the other team in the state, the University of Wisconsin basketball team, and how awesome they've looked this season. And looks like a completely different team, and I want to plug Sparky's Wisconsin Sports Daily today. He's going to have John Rothstein on his show at 2:40. Super excited to listen to that. He put out a tweet comparing the Wisconsin offense this season to the two Final Four runs in 13-14 and 14-15. They're averaging 10 more points a game. They're averaging 3 more assists per game. Very similar shooting splits between regular field goal percentage and three-point percentage, Scott. I wanted to know if this Wisconsin team builds that same excitement that you had back in 2014 with the University of Wisconsin, because they are completely different teams. I mean, they were relying on big man play and slashing to the hoop, and now it feels like they have a lot of guard play this season that could really carry them deep into the tournament.
Well, I think the one thing that holds them back from being that level, other than that they're, 15 spots short of the ranking of what that Wisconsin team was, though, but it's modern college basketball is a lot different now. The connection that people had with Sam Decker, Frank Kaminsky, Nigel Hayes, that kind of, they felt like they were part of the Wisconsin sports family. I don't know that you have that with Blackwell or Tanjay, and it's just the way that college basketball is now with guys coming in and out. So I don't know if there's that same level of excitement, but it's certainly a good team, and it's certainly a team that, like Marquette, they get hot at the right time and avoid foul trouble, they could do serious damage.
Yeah, I think if Max Klesmet was better, he'd be kind of that guy that would rally everybody around this Badgers team. And he's just struggled a little bit too much at times, and where we thought he really was going to step up and be one of the leaders of this team. I think he's still a leader on this team,
sure,
but he's just not, the numbers aren't necessarily there on the court. Speaking of Thunder Watch.
I think he is a leader on the team, but there's a difference between being the fourth year or third year, whatever guy who's a leader on the team and being the fourth year guy and being the national player of the year in Frank Kaminsky. So there isn't that built up 4 year, even a Brad Davison, there isn't that connection with someone who has been in the spotlight as a major part of the Badgers basketball for a while.
Okay, well then let me follow up with this. Let's just say another hypothetical here. If you were to plug Ethan Happ on either of these teams, guy who was in great, all in on the Badgers when he was there for his 4 years, becomes an all-time player, but really was stuck there by himself. If you were to plug him on this Badger team or on this Marquette team, who do you think is in a better position to go farther?
It's very hard for me to think of Ethan Happ as a Golden Eagle and not a Badger. But I guess I think he would be a better placement with Marquette, because as you guys said earlier, one of their only real concerns is they don't necessarily have a true big. Ben Gold is a great shooter and a good player.
He's not a big.
Yeah, and he's not a conference player of the year type guy like Happ was. Happ, just by virtue of where he was in Wisconsin lore of coming after the Kaminsky era, I think sometimes he's a little underrated for just how dominant he was. He was a great, great college basketball player. And I would think you put him on Wisconsin and they're probably a top 10, top 15 team. You put him in Marquette and they're probably top 3.
That's a funny hypothetical, Tommy.
I don't know. I just thought of it right now. I just wanted to have Scott say all nice things about Badger players.
Yeah,
too.
Tommy. I mean, we're both Badgers, Scott, but like Tommy's a homer.
Big homer.
Yeah, he's a homer. So Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. I didn't realize it until I looked it up. I knew it was coming up, and it was just a few weeks away. Pitchers and catchers report in 2 weeks. Scott, and then everybody, of course, reports a week after that. Like, I mean, we get the Super Bowl and then pitchers and catchers. I feel like there was always 2 weeks in between there. Now there's only 1 week because the NFL season got extended a week. 2 weeks away from baseball, Scott. How does that hit you?
I mean, it's great. I'm excited for it. And I'm excited that, our weather is back above 30. So that's fun. We're starting to get to that point. But Yeah, I'll be more excited once it actually gets going. It's honestly, it's going to be a little bit weird. I usually, when I've gone up for spring training, you know, one of the first few days, you talk to Bob. That's going to be very strange, and not to bring a conversation down.
It's okay,
but,
please do.
The whole year is going to be very, very odd from that perspective. And so, as much as we could talk about it, the Brewers haven't made a ton of moves to bolster the team, and we'd love to see them make a move in the next couple of weeks. It's hard to talk about Milwaukee baseball and talk about anything other than Bobby Uecker.
Yeah. So speaking of Bob, like, you know, in your memories of whether it's spring training or once the season got rolling, you know, is there anything that comes to mind for you of memories of Bob Uecker?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, he's just such a nice, genuine guy who will remember your name and have a real conversation with you like you're another human, or like you're somehow an equal to that man, which I am not an equal to that man. I will never be an equal to that man. He's as genuine as it gets. And it, one of the last times I talked to him, I was able to tell him that, you know, he is a huge part of why I am in the business. I am sure that I am the 400th person who has told him a version of that. And I mean, he couldn't have been nicer about it and treating it like it was like a cool big deal for him to hear that, when of course it's not. Because of course there are hundreds of people who were inspired by either him or Harry Doyle or both. But he just, you could not ask for a better guy to go with the legend of what he meant with his job, his professionalism. But the person was just as good.
No doubt about it. Well, Scott, thank you so much for taking the time today. We know you got a lot on your plate right now with Packers. We didn't even get to Packers offseason, so we'll have to dive into that the next time we have you on. But all sorts of things going on in the world of Wisconsin sports. So keep up the great work. Any specific news story you're working on right now?
Honestly, the last thing I did was the one yesterday with Mason and Molly. So
there you go.
That should be
nice.
At some point next week, I think. But
I assume there's a shout out for me and Tommy in that one too.
You can use our clips.
I haven't quite finished the editing yet.
Okay, all right. If you need anything, any quotes from us, we're more than happy to send them over.
I will let you know.
Yep,
for sure.
And I know you got the Bucks Spurs game Friday night coming up on WMLW as well, correct?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
All right.
Always nice to have a Wemby game.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one to have. All right, Scott. Well, thank you so much, and we will catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Scott Grodzki, CBS 58 sports reporter, and he has a great story up on the CBS 58 site right now about David Joplin, and he's going to have a great one, of course, about Mason and Molly, because we're about to get into like tons of Mason and Molly local news. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's like, and so I assume my phone will be ringing off the hook with like people looking for quotes and like, hey, you host the Mason, like, I view myself as the host of the Mason Crosby Show. I view him as the star of the Mason Crosby Show. Does that jive? Does that make sense?
I like that. I think if we're going, I think you're snap, I'm hold, he's kick.
I'm hold, he's kick.
You snap, you start it, right?
Oh, okay.
That's just, I'm
snap, you hold?
I think that makes the most sense.
I think that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Just based on how it would go down. I mean.
All right. We got to talk about this with Mason.
Okay.
But and thanks to Scott Grodzki, CBS 58, awesome job. I truly believe that as an eighth grader, if I had practiced to be a long snapper every day, eighth grade through high school, I could have been in the NFL. Like, worked out, ate right, did all the right things. Like, I think I'm athletic enough. Now, remember, I'm almost 49 right now.
Yeah.
So you got to rewind 30 plus years. But being 6 foot, 200, whatever I am, like, I could have bulked up to 240. I don't know what an average long snapper is.
I was just going to look. Brett Good,
yep,
who was there forever,
yep,
6'1", 255.
Right. So could I have been 6 foot, 240? I'll bet I could have been. Is that a little light for a long snapper? Maybe. But to be just a long snapper, I'll bet I could have done it. I truly believe that. I don't know that I would have wanted to devote my life as an eighth grader and throughout high school to being a long snapper. But like, looking back at it, I could have worked as hard as I wanted to be. I don't think I was going to be a baseball player. Like, even if I'd gone to the cages every day, 8 hours a day, whatever, like, my hand, my swing was always just, like, a tick slow. Like, I played baseball in high school, but I don't think I could have, like, tight end. Like, I always thought I should have played tight end. Like, that would have been my position in high school.
Right, but you got to be a little bit freakier size in the NFL to be a tight end.
Yes, yeah. I think long snapper, I could have been a long snapper.
I don't hate that take.
Yeah.
I don't want to diminish long snapping, but...
No, but I'm saying I would have had to, like, work for years and years and years at it.
Yeah,
like,
from eighth grade on. Right. I don't hate the take.
I'm not saying, like, as a college sophomore, I could have called up Barry and been like, hey, Barry, I think I can long snap. Let's, like, why don't I practice it for a couple weeks and see if I can do it? Like, Barry would have laughed me out of the building.
I wonder how you get recognition in high school, right? Like, because Brett Goode went to Arkansas. He's from Arkansas, so I assume he walked on over there if you want to be a long snapper. I don't think they're giving out scholarships.
Or are most long snappers, like, really great offensive linemen in high school who realize they're not quite good enough to be, like, major D1 guys? We got to talk about this with Mason. Can you write that down?
All right.
All right, write that down. We got to remember
how to be a long snapper in the NFL.
Like, how do you get to be a long snapper?
When he was at draft day, 6'1", 230 is what it says, Brett Goode.
I could have been. I mean, I'm 6 foot, but I could have been 6 foot.
I could have got to 230 years ago. Yes. That would have been easy.
Easy.
For me.
Easy. All right. 414-677-1250. Are you a long snapper? No, I'm just kidding. Do you think what is that thing in sports or what is that thing in life that you think you could have been very easily if you had just put the work in? Like, if you knew now, like, what you know now, if you knew it as a 14-year-old, how would you have changed things? What would you have done? 414-677-1250. The Nicolay Law Fan talk and text line is wide open. I think I could have been a long snapper. What could you have been? A free throw champion? I don't know if you get anything for being a free throw champion. I think we all think if we practiced enough, we could have been free throw champions. Like, every basketball player I know thinks that, like, if I practiced hard, I could be 10 for 10 all the time.
I had to free throw draft for the fantasy football draft order in one of my leagues this year.
Yep.
And I kind of thought, like, riding a bike, because I don't remember the last time I played basketball.
Okay.
It was embarrassing. Yep. It was a really bad performance for me.
All right, well, you asked Scott Gradsky the question, does this team remind you of 2014 with regards to the Wisconsin basketball team? You're going to have to throw me some of those numbers because I'm a little befuddled by this entire concept.
I got you.
And that's just as someone who loved that team, who went to that first Final Four in Dallas, did not go to the Final Four in Indianapolis, but I have a great story about it.
Yeah.
So we will talk some Wisconsin hoops coming up here on the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I could have been a long snapper.